That's never accurate, though.
All right, baby.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the Rick Emerson Show on Shots at 970, proud part of the CBS Radio family. Thank you for coming along, making a party, listening day. We want to thank Mark Ronchetti, by the way. He's off driving to Beaverton to get his hair done.
He's a lot of fun to work with. I like him.
He's a good guy. You know, I'm predisposed to hate everybody else in broadcasting, especially TV people. He was a good guy, though.
No, Katie and Mark are really fun to work with.
You mean of the many people there, Katie and Mark are really fun to work with?
Katie and Mark are awesome to work with.
Who isn't?
Probably anybody Nobody. Who's not Katie and Mark. That's, I think that's the implication.
Lovely.
That's what I'm inferring.
Oh.
Okay.
Stop trying to cause trouble, Rick Emerson.
I'm not causing any trouble. All right, coming up, here's what's... You really would not believe how much we still have to get done. That show, that last hour we did was like 10 pounds of mud in a 5-pound sack.
Mm-hmm. Yet it was done flawlessly.
Well, with the... Baby, you know, we're pros. All right, here's... And I fooled another dumb bastard with my metal lyrics.
No,
you don't even... This is the fulfillment of all of my dreams that I fooled another guy. Wait, hold on, let me cross these off so we don't do it again. Man with the long steel gun.
I think everyone's going to remember that we did that one.
You know what I should do? I should give these lyrics to the band, and they should create real songs out of these lyrics. You can close your eyes and you can picture the band singing it, can't you? You know? I'm the man with the long steel gun. Watch me take aim. Leave in the morning. Don't even know your name.
I'm left speechless.
Okay. Here's what's coming up this hour on the Rick Emerson Show. Bottom of the hour, Gary Baumgarten's going to be here to talk about something about cannibalism in Paris Hilton. I swear to God, that's what it says. I swear to you, that's what the CNN prep sheet says. It's like Paris Hilton, American cannibalism, blah, 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 controversy, as the British would say. That's, I'm not making it up, it's right there. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio is going to be up later on the day. We're going to talk about summer blockbusters because that the Mission Impossible 3. Is anybody here going to see that?
No.
No, I'm not giving him my money.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. And I misspoke, by the way, when I said that I saw Mission Impossible 2. My wife reminded me that we saw Mission Impossible 1. And she reminded me that that was actually the film that caused us to institute our new no blockbusters rule. So unless it has cultural significance, i.e. Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, you know, Spider-Man, whatever, or it's just going to be hands down brilliant, you know, like a new Cameron movie or something comes out, or King Kong. Mission Impossible 1 actually was the reason we had a no blockbusters rule installed. So we now do not see anything marketed to us as like a summer blockbuster unless there's some compelling reason. It's because of Mission Impossible 1. So I never did see Mission Impossible 2. So Gary Baumgarten, bottom of the hour. Scott Daly's going to be here to talk about the summer blockbusters coming up. We got to play at least one more time. We got to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics because we've only got one contestant. And we got this bag of chocolate Jesuses. Now, first, though, I should play this. Now, this is from, let's see, Friday. This is from, do you remember that guy, Craig? And he called up a couple days ago, and then he called up yesterday. And he's the reason we're doing this metal contest because he's like, Rick Emerson! That kid's got pipes! And he's, you know, and I got to win! And then he called yesterday and he just ate it. He called yesterday and he's like, I'm ready to play! And then he just bombed out spectacularly. Okay, so this is what I get. The problem with being management in any way is that they know exactly where to find you. They can call the front desk, please do not do this, and then get right through to my voicemail. As a result, I no longer answer the phone in my office. So don't think you're going to... Don't be all slick calling the front desk thing and like, Rick will answer. Rick's not going to answer.
Oh, and then you have a magnetic in or out circle that you put next to your name by the door, I noticed.
Yes, and I just leave it at out constantly. It's like, you don't think you're going to call the front desk and you're just going to go right in my desk. I'm not going to be answering.
Like one of those old-fashioned weather maps.
Yes. So, now listen, this is what I get on my voicemail yesterday around 3:30 after Craig eats it at the contest. Is my computer up?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is listen to this.
Rick, it's Craig again. All right, look, I know I blew it today. Good lyrics, by the way, but dude, inspiration to this contest, you gotta throw me a free pass on this one. Dude, I am a soldier under Rick's command. Come on, you kidding? I'm gonna tear that thing up. Soldier, under Rick's command. You gotta let me play with Glengarry Glen Rock, dude. You got my phone number. I'm just saying, if there's a freebie pass to be had in this one, I'm gonna be there. You got my phone number. I'm sure any one of those five songs that you're going to let your singers do, I can do, man. All I need is one mic. You got my number. Give me a call. Thanks, Rick. Chip.
All right. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Okay. Now, he's called the show like 500 times. He finally got on the air, blew the contest, feels so bad he calls and sings into my voicemail, right? Okay, that's at like 4. 4:30. Let's check Rick's voicemail from 4:30.
All right, Emerson, I'm going to give it one last shot and tell you how much I want to be a part of this thing. I listen to Rick Emerson a lot, but up and down the 5, sometimes he don't come in and it's tough. Yeah. Ooh, it's so tough. And Rick told Tara just the other day, he's gonna hold the contest and someone gets to sing. It's what I love. Ooh, love, love, love. Yeah, it's what I love. And so I'm gonna hold on to what we got. It doesn't make a difference if I make it or not. We got each other. That's a lot for love. Come on, Rick, give me a shot now. Whoa, I'm halfway there.
There's significant improvement on this one.
Just give me the stage. I'll knock it out, I swear. Yeah, we're living on a prayer, baby.
Now listen. Now
it sounds like
pause
a real
this.
Thing.
Now listen. That awesome. How? I mean, he's made the point, right? Like there's no
he's
way we could construe this to
no
mean anything other than he wants to be part of the contest, right? Like you think that like 5 calls to the show, 2 voicemails in one day, another voicemail the day before that. You think that he'd know what he's talking about? But listen, now he has to boil it down here at the.
At the 9th, you got to have me, Rick. 503. Wait, screaming guy, you know I can take it up, man. Give me a free pass. Give me a call. Thanks.
Okay, so there you go. So just in case we weren't clear about what his whole motivation was. So there he is, ladies and gentlemen.
He won me over. He totally gets to be in it.
Craig the screaming. Okay, well, hey, and look at this. And lo and behold, Scotty J., who, by the way, just pulled me aside and informed me that we should always refer to him as Scotty J.
What?
Because, no, wait. Because I was calling him Scott, because grown man and all, both of us. He pulled me aside and informed me that we should always refer to him as Scotty J. Because, quote, he has many peeps in the Portland area who know him as that.
Can we call him Scotty Gay?
Zing! All right, there. That's not even a wah-wah. That's just kind of a... There you go. Thank you.
All right, peeps.
Okay. Let's see.
Is he referring to those marshmallow chickens?
I think so. He's a lot of them.
Well, this time of the year, everyone would have a lot of peeps.
Is this Craig?
Hey, look at Scotty J holding down the 503 for his peeps. That's hilarious.
Yes, it really is true. You are fantastic. You only speak rock and roll. You, sir, are my hero. You
he's
and Mark
awesome.
Ronchetti. You and the Ronk. All right, so... Look, no more voicemail mess. I'll give you, okay, yes, you're in. We'll grandfather you in.
Well, I mean, God laughs at me. Okay, granted, I was one of those three, but jeez, dude. I mean, first guy that called in had no, I mean, he was apathetic like a Portland Trailblazers fan.
Yes.
Second guy, dude, who couldn't pick out Bon Jovi?
And from Slippery When Wet.
I know. So. Probably their best album ever.
Yes. All right, so...
I think you have a new best friend, Rick.
Yeah, it's true.
Look at you guys. You speak the same language.
Yes, we're going to go pick up matching outfits and hang around the food court together. We're going to go to Hot Topic together on weekends.
Good time.
I'm actually looking forward to meeting Craig.
All right. Something Craig, what celebrity would you say you most resemble?
Oh, I don't know. I look a little bit like Fez from the show, the 70s show. I look a little bit like...
Are you a swarthy man?
Am I a smarty man?
Swarthy. Are you a chocolate man, an olive man?
I'm a man of olive complexion.
Oh, that's what I see. That's what I thought. For some reason, maybe it's the Craig Montoya thing, because he says Craig, and he's a rock dude. And so in my head, I pictured him being a swarthy man. So there you go. All right. Well, so see, you could impress the ladies two ways. Ladies do love a swarthy musician. All right. So I'll tell you what. So we got whatever that guy. The other winner was Scott. The one guy who's actually managed to win the contest is Scott.
Yeah.
And now you, Craig. Do me a favor. Do not do it here, but drop me an email with your phone number again, because I think I might have just shredded it. But drop me an email with your phone number. Okay. But now one more. But see again. Just will grandfather you, but you do have to sing a little 10-15 seconds of an established rock song.
What would you like to hear?
Sarah, any requests?
Do you want me to just do the same one I did?
No. It's got to be something else. Can you wail on any other Jovi for us?
Yeah, I bet you I could do, let's see. Let me see if I can come up with...
How about Wanted Dead or Alive?
Can you do a little Wanted Dead or Alive?
Oh, could I do Wanted Dead or Alive? I'd want Wanted Dead or Alive. No offense to Jarius. I mean, I think Jarius does a great job at it, but I've got Wanted Dead or Alive like nobody's business.
All right, well, let's just bust out a little Wanted Dead or Alive here.
Let me see if I can do it with a little company. By the way, just so that you know, that guitar player that I was doing that with?
Yes.
That's a guy by the name of Steve Frangidakis, and he is the lead guitarist for the Bret Michaels band.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How do you know the Bret Michaels? You didn't tell us this. You should have mentioned this earlier. We would have just given it to you. We like anybody who knows anybody even remotely famous.
You know what? But he earned it. That's better.
You did. You didn't call. To be fair, you didn't use your connections. You didn't use your powerful connection to the Bret Michaels solo band.
I could have, but yes. I figured it'd be a lot fairer to do it the right way, right?
You just try to have Bret Michaels swing by on Thursday.
That's what I told Frangidakis. I said, you know, I'm going to tell him that I know you, and it's just going to kill it because they're going to want Bret Michaels instead of you.
Well, you know, he is Bret Michaels.
Frangidakis is a great guitar player. He's a lead guitar player with Bret Michaels.
All right.
Let me give you a little bit of Wanted Dead or Alive. Here we go.
All right.
All right, ready?
Yes.
So this is Frangidakis doing it as well.
All right.
Here we go. It's all the same. Only the names will change. Every day, it seems we're wasting away. Another place where the faces are so cold. I know I'd travel night if I could get back home. 'Cause I'm a cowboy and on a steel horse I ride. I'm wanted. Dead or alive. I'm wanted. Rick.
Wanted!
Sing!
Dead or alive. Woo! All right, there you go. Thank you. There you go.
All right, man.
All right, Craig. All right, drop me you're in, baby.
Got it, man.
All right, thank you. There you go. All right, there you go. That's Craig. Well, who can really top that?
Well, that's
nobody,
a little effort get you.
Nobody's going to want to compete now. Who wants to go up against that guy? Well, whatever. It's all for the power of rock. All right. Should we break so we don't get behind?
Yeah.
Look at me staying on task.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's impressive.
All right. Here's what's coming up. Bottom of the hour, Gary Baumgarten is going to breathe heavily while talking about Paris Hilton and some cannibal thing. Tim Riley at the City Desk. Later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. And, of course, we've still got to name the freaking band. The artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, they're going to be playing at Listener Party 9, which happens when, Sarah?
420,
6 days from today.
At Sabala's Mount Tabor.
Thursday, April 20th.
Yeah.
7 p.m.
Yeah, but the doors open actually at 4 for the sidebar.
49th and Hawthorne.
Yeah.
All right.
You can use 3D glasses to look at the 3D images on
and
the
wall. And they got the spooky evil forest thing going on. It's kind of messed up. All right.
Cool.
So that's all coming up, et cetera. You stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. Huge. Little Tom Servo breather. Actually, that's two part. That's a. I'm huge, and my hands are huge. That's a. That's a double geek joke. It's Tom Servo and it's Lur from the planet Omicron Persei 8. I think. Try 15. It might be 17, but I think it's 15. Talking into your
back. Backstage talk.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's a little behind the curtain talk. 533-733-503. Reading random numbers. 9! 503-733-2970. It's just one of those days. You know what it is? It's like some days you're riding the road, and some days the road is riding you. Do you know what I mean? And hold on. 503-733-2970. All right, here's what's coming up. Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio is going to join us here in a few from Manhattan, and he's going to talk about I didn't truthfully even pre-read the story. I just saw, it's like I was scanning for keywords, and it was like Paris, cannibal, controversy. I'm like, that's it. We're gold. And I was running late anyway, and I'm like trying to cram lunch into my mouth, and like, Scotty J. Should get a sounder for that. Scotty J, the intern is in there, and I'm just trying to talk, I'm trying to look like I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Gary Baumgartner's going to call. We've got the chocolate Jesuses now there. I don't want to see them. Leave them in the bag for now. Because
okay, they're hidden.
Okay, thank you. Because
I took a peek though.
Because much
they are real.
Because much like Thomas,
chocolate Jesus is fattening too.
Chocolate Jesus is the there's some joke there too about the chocolate Jesus, some sort of a
caloric intake thing.
No, I was thinking they're hollow, and then I was thinking that whole because you know Thomas doubts that it is really the Savior, and then he places his hand in the wound in the side of Christ. And that is how he knows it is indeed Jesus the Christ. And then because he is doubting Thomas, blah, 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 and then he runs back and so forth.
Take this and eat it. This is my chocolate.
It's 503-733.
There's nothing wrong with a little religion.
No, we're all Catholic. We can make all the Catholic jokes we want. All right, it's...
And the fact that we're observing it in our own ways
is good.
Wait, hold
on. And you know what? And at the end of the show, I'm just going to say... At the end of the show, I'm just going to say an act of contrition just to... At the end of the show, I'm going to run a whole act of contrition just to make up for it. Because that's the great thing about Catholicism. Sin now, you know, absolved later. Doesn't matter. Is it the act of contrition, which we all probably know by heart? Sarah, can you say it?
I know the beginning. It's like, oh, my God, I'm hardly sorry for having offended you. That's all I know.
Oh, I can still do it.
You can?
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. Do you want to hear it now?
Yeah.
All right. Gary Baumgarten's probably not.
Oh, he's holding, huh?
He's probably not Catholic.
No, probably not. All right. Let's welcome now to the... well, you never know. Live from CNN Radio, New York City. It is Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio correspondent to the stars.
I can say, instead of that, I can say, why is this night different from all other nights?
That's fantastic.
So I can be religious too. It's just a little different religion.
Well, you know, we try to cover all flavors here.
Hey, why not?
All right.
That's what makes America what it is.
So I'm talking, you know, well, here we're, we are. We're not really a melting pot. We're just more of a salad here at the Rick Emerson. We're sort of a stew. We're a bisque. That's what we are. So I didn't really even read the story this morning. I was looking through, and I saw Paris Hilton, cannibal, something, and then, as our British friends would say, controversy. And I said, this is it. This is what we're talking about today.
There you go.
I have no idea what the hell the story's even about.
Neither do I, but I'll try to fill you in.
Fantastic.
There's this guy who did the sex tapes of Paris Hilton. He also did a reality television show.
Is this Rick's?
Where people were tricked into believing that they were eating human flesh.
No, okay, let's stop. Is this... Oh, Jesus God. Okay, is this... Let's all get a hold of ourselves.
So willingly.
Is this Rick Solomon?
No, it's another guy.
Sarah, who was the guy that made this... I thought that was Rick Solomon that made the sex tape.
Well, he wasn't the distributor. I mean, he made it, but
distributed. Oh, okay, so the distributor of the sex tape then,
right.
Maybe. Okay, all right, so he distributed the Paris Hilton sex tape, and then a reality show where they're what?
Well, they were tricked into believing that they had to eat human flesh.
Why, in the name of all that is sacred and righteous on this planet, would... I mean, okay, it's because Americans are pig-like attention whores, I know, but even so, how did this... Is this already done? It's in the can?
Well, what happened was they killed that. They killed out the TV show.
Okay, so it was going to be a show. Tell me it was on Fox. Tell me it was going to be on Fox.
I believe it was on Fox.
Of course.
Oh, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, we all know. I mean, come on.
So these guys, the guy's name is Kevin Blatt.
Okay, Kevin Blatt? That's an unfortunate
name. Blatt, right? He's famous for producing the Paris Hilton sex video.
Okay.
Okay, so they did this documentary. They spent months with him. The documentary is on reality TV shows. The documentary is called American Cannibal.
And is it just sort of a let's see how far people will go in this crazy... All right,
apparently.
Okay.
So I have not seen the film yet because they got a cease and desist order. Blatt recognizing that during the time that he was spending time with the film crew, he blabbed about other things, including the Paris Hilton sex tapes. And he didn't want the cat out of the bag on how he obtained the tapes and all this kind of stuff. So he's fearful that that's part of the movie, so he issued a cease and desist letter through his attorney demanding that American Cannibal not be screened at the Tribeca Film Festival.
I understand. So American Cannibal is sort of a documentary about how they pulled a fast one with this fake reality show, but he is worried that as the producer of said fake reality show, they caught him on camera talking about how he got the Paris Hilton sex tape.
Right, because apparently once he starts talking, he can't shut up.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So they're like, hey, we're here with American Cannibal producer, Blatt, and they catch him going, and then I broke into Paris's house, or whatever.
Right, or whatever
okay.
it was.
Okay,
right.
All right.
Okay, that
but
makes
the
sense.
Thing is, you know, here's a guy who pushes the limits of the First Amendment himself.
Sure.
To make gobs of money off of Paris Hilton's body, and...
Something there with gobs, and all right, anyway, move on.
And then these guys... he agrees, he signs a release, these guys spend 2 months with him, following him around, he's mic'd up the entire time,
right.
And he doesn't think that he's going to, you know, if he says something stupid, it's going to not get recorded.
Well, that's the thing, is it's like, there's that old rule, like, do you know you are talking to a journalist, are you aware it is being recorded and on the record, and I don't know, this doesn't seem like it's going to hold up, but it's just sort of a threat lawsuit right now.
Well, they're scared, I don't know why, I said when I talked to the producers of American Cannibal, I said, well, this can't be bad for you.
Right.
He says, oh yeah, it's bad because Tribeca Film Festival may not air it now.
And Tribeca, that's De Niro's film festival,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which is really gaining a lot of prominence. There are a lot
right.
of really neat films this year, including Flight 93, which is, you know, there's such controversy over
sure.
is being released here. But so that's the deal. I think it's absolutely absurd that a guy like this who signs a release would threaten these guys who are doing their first documentary like this. And, you know, they're not worldly enough to realize that they ought to be taking advantage of the situation rather than being scared that it's not going to get screened at the Tribeca Film Festival. I mean, here we're talking about it, and otherwise there would be no notoriety probably about the film. Nobody would probably pay as much attention.
Hey, I'll totally see it. I just based on your description, I would totally see it. So,
well, yeah, you would, but
yeah.
You know,
oh, thanks. Yes.
That's you.
All right, I do admit it.
You know, I remember once a friend of mine was doing a story, writing a book about Detroit, and that's where I'm from.
Right.
It was a great book, by the way. It's called Devil's Night and Other True Tales of Detroit by Zev Heifetz. It's just a great book. But he wanted me to introduce him to some of the characters I knew in the city. So I took him to see a guy named Chuck Costa, who was a businessman and a philanthropist and a perennial candidate for mayor, only getting about 2% of the votes. He's kind of a colorful figure and everything. So the book comes out, and Chuck says, let's go to Barnes & Noble and get the book. So we go to Barnes & Noble, we buy the book, we come back, and he's got people in his office. He says, read what he wrote about me. And I open it up. I said, Chuck, why don't you just read it yourself at some time? We don't have to read it in front of a bunch of people. No, read it. So I start reading it, and it was, let me just say, far from complimentary.
Right.
He goes, oh, he got all upset. I said, well, Chuck, I was there. You said these things.
He said all of that, yeah.
He said all of it, and he says, well, yeah, I know I said it, but I didn't think he put it in the book.
Oh, man, I just got done doing, and they published it. It was a smaller article, but I talked about this on the air. I did a 36-hour, not all in a row, obviously, but I did 36 hours of interviews with one of the local weeklies here.
Right.
And I was not shy. You feel dumb saying it, but I was not shy about multiple times in the conversation saying, like, well, off the record. And I was very clear. Like, they bank on you being awkward and uncomfortable and hesitant to say off the record. But
right.
I was absolutely clear about that because I know anything you say that goes on the tape or in the notebook is going to show up.
That's right.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, I'm told. Do you think the film's ever going to come out?
Oh, without a doubt.
Excellent. I'm all over that. I'm going to pre-order.
Yeah, now I want to see it.
Yeah,
come
I'm going to
come on to the Tribeca with me. We'll go see like 5 or 6 films.
Fantastic. We'll make a whole weekend of it.
Sure.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Gary Baumgartner, you have a good weekend, my friend.
You too, man.
All right. There you go. I'm all over that. I've been wanting an excuse to go to New York again anyway.
See, the likable thing about Gary Baumgartner is that he's probably serious.
Yeah,
he
no.
He totally would take you.
I would totally go. Yeah. Well, we've been trying to get one of those guys here, him, yeah. Jim Roop, somebody, so... We should do a whole tour. You know, we do the show live from Manhattan with Gary Baumgarten, live from New York with Jim Roop. So, all right. Okay, here's what's coming up. We have to unveil the Chocolate Jesuses. We should get some music, like a choir or just some sort of, you know, and...
Think K-Hits would have it?
Do we have to drape it in purple cloth over the weekend or something, too? And then, you know, sorry, I'm reaching for the joke. Yeah. Let's go to the City Desk with Tim Riley.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Paris Hilton was desperate for a breast enlargement until her dad said it was sleazy. The hotel heiress begged her parents to let her undergo the knife to have her modest assets enhanced. She revealed years ago, I asked my dad for a boob job, and he said that would cheapen her image.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, last night... Do you see
how that joke is just so... Like, even before we make the joke is old, and so we just sort of chuckle, because it's like, what are we possibly going to say?
Well, the super slim socialite was reportedly spotted sneaking into the Institute of Plastic Surgery in Hollywood. Somebody working there says...
Have them fix that nose while they're there.
It's not her first time here.
Honey, you got swindled, all right? So you did not get your money's worth, all right? So why don't you go back and ask for a redo? Somebody tricked you.
This comes to us out of Florida.
Oh, wait, now. Oh, for the love of... Oh, no. Oh, and... There we go. Thank you.
A man is beaten with a wooden cross and doused with bleach. A woman and man in Marion County, Florida, accused of trying to blind a man with bleach before beating him with a wooden cross and then leaving him for dead in his home.
It's the cross that makes it funny.
It all began when Gary Matthews told police he brought over a prostitute over the weekend. She brought her pimp along, and then they decided to stay for the weekend.
Let's have a whole weekend of it. Who invites a pimp? Look, you invite a hooker for the weekend, maybe, if you get some sort of a flat fee thing going on, but who invites the pimp to stay?
Apparently this fellow did.
He's asking for
regretfully.
It.
Regretfully. Yes. He woke up early Monday and found the woman man rummaging through his belongings. It was at that point the male threw bleach in the victim's face and started beating him with a wooden cross.
Wait, who's the victim, the pimp or the John?
No, the John is the victim.
So
the host.
So the pimp is beating the John.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me understand this. So the John wants a hoe. He invites the hooker over. She brings the pimp. The John says, why don't both of you stay for the weekend? We'll have a slumber party.
Absolutely.
He wakes up. They're rummaging around in his crap, to no one's surprise. Uh-huh. He says, hey, wait a minute. They respond by bleaching him and then beating him with a wooden cross.
Correct.
Where did the big wooden cross come from?
I don't know. And why would there be a big wooden cross in the house of a man who was getting a hooker and her pimp to stay for the weekend?
That's a good question.
This story raises more questions than it answers. It's filled with blind alleys.
Then the pair duct taped his hands together and stole his wallet and pickup. He needed 35 stitches and 12 staples in his head.
Oh, good times.
Two have been arrested. There's the picture of the pimp.
Oh, man. He'll do some whooping on you. Look at that guy.
I mean...
He's a big Samoan-looking guy.
He's a stranger you invite to your house to spend the weekend.
Let me see.
Enormous.
Yeah, that guy kill you dead.
Why isn't he wearing a shirt?
Shelly Brown, 33.
Well, maybe that's what he was looking for in the drawers.
And her alleged pimp, Ricky Johnson, 35, came over. They only show the hooker from behind. Insert joke here. And then, boy, Ricky Johnson's here's what Ricky Johnson looks like. He's a huge black man, shirtless, wearing camouflage pants. That's a guy you don't want to screw with, all right? You just give the pimp what he wants.
Mind if we stay for the weekend?
Yes, let's, yes.
Gosh.
Yes, that's really you know, there's some people in this universe you don't want to argue with. That's really a let the Wookiee win kind of a situation right there. So, all right, and from Florida.
Have the Darwin watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't.
I ate all my caps.
Don't.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Here's your Darwin watch for Friday.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hail.
Oh, my heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
Dateline Pittsburgh. Police investigating a fatal elevator accident in downtown Pittsburgh.
It happened on the seventh floor of a building. Police say James, nearly at Bellevue, was waiting for a freight elevator and peered through the window of the shaft and said, "Where's that elevator?" It struck him in the head, nearly decapitating him.
Oh. Should be here anyway.
Where was that darn...
It's...
That's like in Final Destination when the chick steps out in front of the bus.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know where the... I'm just waiting for the... It's fantastic. There's endless scenarios you can play that out in your head. Okay.
Nothing more needs
I
to
pushed
be
the button just a minute. There you go. All right. Are we done? Is
I
that it?
So.
Is there really any more to that story?
It says, push refresh for updates.
What updates would there possibly be? What updates could there... Okay. There's your...
Thank you, Darwin Munch.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, hey.
It's good that he died so that we might laugh, though. I mean, really, it wasn't a total loss. He did give himself, he sacrificed himself for our humor.
That's the way he would have wanted it.
It's true. On this Easter weekend, I am glad that he did give his life so that we might be saved from a few moments of tedium.
Should we look at our chocolate crosses now?
Do we have to break? Is it? Do we have a 40?
No, I am merching them.
So when are we breaking? Like 10 minutes?
We want to be back on time at 2.
That is true.
Yeah. That's, don't say anything.
No particular reason.
Okay.
No.
It's a normal show.
Nothing going on here.
There's nothing happening at 2.
Okay.
Not at all.
You're going to give it away.
I'm not giving anything away. How could I possibly give anything away? All right, now who are these? Was it Lauren?
Yeah.
Lauren's the bunny man, right?
I believe there's a message.
In more ways than one. All right, I haven't seen these crosses. You were taking them out of the bag now.
Okay.
Oh, dear Lord.
That's a 250 one.
Now, is
look at that. Happy Easter.
That'll get you to heaven.
Chocolate crust. Do you know how many calories are in this thing?
I am.
880 calories.
Jeez, I can't.
Well, it's Easter.
There's no. Is that the expensive one or the cheap one?
This is the expensive.
That's two for $5.
And the note says, "Rick, where is your chocolate god body now?" By the way, my band names are Pig Baby or the Comers of Blood.
Thank you.
Oh, those are for kids.
And here's a white
one. All right, so let's take these one at a time. This is from Palmer, and that's one of those companies like the Paws Egg people that they really only have one time. They have like 1 month a year where they make money. Happy Easter. Standing chocolate cross. Hollow milk chocolate. Ideal for holiday center pieces or displays. Speaking of displays, we got to talk about Sean, the engineer, and how he's sticking it to the man this week. Okay, first of all, guess how many calories are in this chocolate cross?
I just said it.
How? Oh, what?
I just said it.
Oh, how many?
880.
These small ones are only 380.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And only 200 calories from fat.
That's a palm? What kind of
frond?
It's not a palm frond, though, is it? Because that's not
that
for
like
Easter.
No, that looks like an iris.
Is it an iris? What is the, isn't there an Easter plant? Or is it an Easter lily?
Easter lily, yeah.
Isn't there an Easter plant? Almost like it has Easter in the name. Some Easter begonia. So there's it really is impossible to describe what this looks like. Wait, he brought us three. Okay, so hold on. He brought us
the biggest one.
Well, of course.
Because you're the host.
A large. I am the most saved. It is I who am most saved.
You went to the most Catholic school out of all of us.
How many years did you go?
2.
Tim?
12.
No, that's Tim. Oh, I only went for 9.
Tim gets the big chocolate
cross.
All right,
prize. Here, I'll give you the big one.
I don't deserve it. I haven't been a very good Catholic at all.
I'm shocked.
I have broken many commandments.
Okay. Oh, God. I'm just getting all of these calls. Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. So here's the three candy crosses. I'm unclear about whether this is sacrilegious or not. I really don't know. And the creepy thing is that it's got simulated wood grain. I don't know about yours. Mine has simulated, it has a simulated knot out of, like a knot hole made out of chocolate.
Eat one and see what happens to you.
Is it hollow?
Mine is, okay. Mine is probably 6 inches high.
Like four inches across.
4 inches across, white chocolate, simulated wood grain and knot holes. And then a candy Easter lily on the front. And mine, I believe, is solid chocolate, 380 calories.
Ah, these are hollow.
Yeah, so yours is large. But see, yours is still twice as big, though. It's got twice the calories mine does.
I'm twice the sinner.
Yeah. You need twice the cleansing. You need twice the healing blood of the Lamb.
Do you read their quality pledge?
No, I didn't.
If you are not satisfied, please let us know and we will make it right.
If you end up in spirit prison because you consume this candy.
We would also enjoy
vitamin
hearing
A,
from you for
0%.
Any reason.
Vitamin C, 0%.
So really, Jesus, 0%. So really, Jesus doesn't do anything in terms of giving you your daily vitamin intake.
No.
Oh my God, it's 100% of the saturated fat you need for the day.
Of course. There's something
I've never seen it actually be 100%.
Sacramental fat. Well, let me understand this. So Jesus can turn water to wine. He can destroy the entire world with a flood. He can make tongues of fire dance above the head of the apostles. He can fly back into heaven during the ascension. He can raise the freaking dead. Can't give you any vitamin A. Vitamin. He can multiply loaves and fishes to feed a multitude. But I'm sorry, when you need vitamin B or C, you're just out of luck. That
become
is beyond
a Scientologist.
That is beyond the reach of the Savior. He's really more of a semi-Christ. Okay. Well, there you go, kids. So we'll have to eat these next hour. Come on. You do it for Jesus. Not like it's going to taste any worse than the wafer does.
This is your penance.
It really is your penance. This is sort of a, now here's a question, and I mean this sincerely. I'm not asking this as a cheap radio DJ shock jock question. I really mean this. Now all of us here, and presumably many of you out there, isn't Catholicism still the biggest single religion in America?
I don't know.
Well, it's got to be up there. There's many.
At least in the top three.
Yes, we're holding down our own.
The numbers are dwindling.
Well, that's true. Well, but maybe this is part of like a buddy Christ thing. This is part of their like, okay, here's what we've got to make Catholicism cool again. We've got your chocolate cross. Like, if I would think this was a joke if I wasn't holding it in my hand. Here's a question I have. And if you are a catechism, you know, you studied catechism, maybe you're a seminary student, the odds are you're probably not listening, but what can you do? I have a question about this. There is the transfiguration. Who knows what transfiguration is? Transfiguration is the process during the Catholic Mass during which the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. We all know this. We all went to school. When he says, and they said to his apostles, this is my body. Take it and eat it that ye might be saved, blah, 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 eternal life.
This is based on the same thing.
This is all sort of a spin-off. My question is, if this were to be consecrated by a priest during the act of transfiguration as part of a Catholic Mass, would this chocolate then become the body of Christ? Or does it have to be bread? Because at the Last Supper, it was bread and wine. And he said, this is my cup, this is my blood, the cup of eternal life. That's what he said. And then there was, and then they all posed. And so my question is, does it have to be bread and wine? Could you, in fact, make this chocolate into the healing body of Christ? I mean this as a sincere question. This is a thing I actually wonder about. I do have these questions sometimes, like, could God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it?
We'd have to find a priest to answer that.
These are things I worry about. I wonder about this stuff.
You worry about?
Me and Kevin Smith, we lay awake at night. We lay awake at night wondering these questions. Like, I always wonder this. Do you ever think about this? Like, if you had a phone, like, if you could call Jesus on the phone, which would be interesting in and of itself, and you said, Jesus, look, I have a question for you. Tomorrow, am I going to wear boxers or briefs? And then if Jesus said, my son, tomorrow you will wear briefs. My question is, could you wear boxers then?
How do we know he speaks English?
Well, they've outsourced it. Jesus, are you taking my call to America?
Yes.
But if Jesus told you tomorrow that you were going to wear boxers, would you be able to wear briefs? Would you have to do it? What if God told you? Because
I think you've been listening to What If God Was One of Us way too many times.
No, look, now, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is what the Old Testament called the Great I Am. Now, if Jesus told you, because all is known to him, the universe is as one day to the Almighty. If he looked forward and said, tomorrow, my son, you will wear briefs. Also, you will eat a lemon. Do I have any choice? What if I tried to put on boxers after Jesus told me I would wear briefs?
Well, I guess it depends on if you believe in fate or not. Like, if you believe that you can make your decisions or if your decisions are already made for you.
You know what Catholics do? 5 minutes after they hear something, they forget all about it and do whatever they want.
Really? This conversation ought to be happening in a dorm room and we all should be high. And be a lot of like...
And listening to The Wall.
Serious?
No, listening to Dark Side of the Moon, watching The Wizard of Oz.
That's exactly what all of these conversations are like. It's, you know... I don't know. What is the nature of man? Do we have to break?
Yeah.
We break. We're going to come back with phone calls. Scott Dally's going to be here from Film Fever Radio. No one else, though. It's just Scott Dally.
Just Scott Dally.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, look at this. Chris on line one wants to talk about the chocolate cross. And then I think we've got a guy who ate a chocolate baby Jesus. That's really what it says. I'm not making that up. We'll be back, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show, Easter weekend edition. Don't go anywhere. Here's the Four Horsemen. We're on Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS radio family. You stay right there.